We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, it's about time that slacker Capaccio gets back to work. The Bills will be on the practice field at 10. Hey, by the way, before we get to Sal, unless he actually just hung up on us, I will remind you that he gives you the inside scoop, takes you behind the scenes of training camp. All you need to do is check out his reports. He goes live on the WGR Facebook page. Again, that's going on throughout the course of camp. Behind the scenes at training camp is presented by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy Thursday to you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Happy start of football season, as you guys have been talking about, I guess, officially, maybe unofficially, whatever it is.
Favorite Hall of Fame game memory? Bills played in this a couple times, right? The Rex Bills.
Oh, yeah.
The Rex Bills and the Marone Bills, I think, each
Marone
had a Hall
Bills.
Of Fame game.
Wasn't there a corner that got beat and he was all upset?
Yeah.
Was that the Marone Bills?
Yep.
Well, I mean, we could go back. Remember, I mean, Jeremy came on the radio the next day pretty upset when Marone was upset about losing the Hall of Fame.
I was.
I remember that.
Changed the course of the whole season. Changed the tone. Really.
Most Hall of Fame game memories for me are not great because the one that stands out is the fake punt that the Titans ran against the Bills.
Oh, come on. That's a great memory.
I just saw that an hour ago, the highlight of that.
Oh, my gosh.
Then there's the game that didn't get played because the paint was peeling, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's right. It was too hot. They didn't the turf, and they didn't take care of it properly. Sammy Watkins got hurt. Why was he running slant patterns in you know, the second half or whatever? I don't know.
It's good times had by all is what we're basically saying. I want to do, among the things, Sal, talk about the guy they signed yesterday, but the NFLPA has come out and is now requesting that the league test vaccinated players on a daily basis, which had not been the protocol, right? The unvaccinated players were getting tested mm-hmm. daily, but I think the vaccinated were, what, every 14 days? They're seeing what's going on with the Delta variant. There have been some positive cases among players and staff around the league. They're having the breakthrough cases, so they think it's important to test everybody on a daily basis. Any quick thoughts on that?
Well, only that this is interesting that it's coming from the PA, right?
Yeah.
The PA is saying, we want the players tested. We want our players tested every day because we've had these breakthrough cases. They cited a couple of different things, Minnesota and Miami, a couple of different places where they've had some outbreaks inside the facility. The number is 62, I believe, positive cases, and 65. And according to the NFLPA, 32 are from vaccinated individuals. So they would like to make sure, you know, the NFLPA, they have a vested interest in playing every game.
Sure.
Even though the league said, you know, there could be forfeits if you don't and all that kind of stuff, and we're not going to do this. If the players don't play, they don't get paid. They want to play. They want to get paid. They do not want something to disrupt that. So obviously you see the motivation on their part to make sure everybody's on the field, but also, of course, safety and health. But, you know, they want to make sure they do this. Now, from the NFL's response, Dr. Alan Sills, who is the chief medical officer for the league, said, you know, they'll continue to do, you know, massage the COVID protocols, but they're not going to do this. They're not going to test the players every day. They have a good plan in place right now that they feel is working. This is interesting. So let's see where this goes right now. Like a lot of this stuff, it's a moving target. This might be one of those deals where they may have to kind of negotiate and maybe some give and take on each side. Who knows?
Yeah. And I guess from what I read, too, Sal, the whole – even if they do daily testing of the vaccinated players, they don't change the other protocols for them. Like, they're very strict if you haven't gotten your vaccination. Mm-hmm. And even – and if you're tested, a vaccinated player can still walk right into the facility without waiting for the results. If you're unvaccinated, when you get tested – I guess they make you basically wait in your car until the test results come back. And only then would you be able to walk in the facility. Vaccinated guys can go in no matter what, apparently.
And you remember, do you guys remember when this memo came out a couple of weeks ago about the outbreaks? And we said, well, what's defining an outbreak? Remember that? Like, how do they even define this, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to talk about an outbreak at a facility, we're already seeing this because in this memo, the NFLPA said, we've already seen outbreaks in Atlanta and Miami. Well, guess what? Here's Alan Sills, the chief medical officer for the NFL, said, quote, I am quite adamant that is not what we've seen at any of our clubs.
Yeah.
So they're saying, no, that's not an outbreak. The NFLPA is saying it is. This goes back to what we talked about, which is how do you define an outbreak?
Right. What's the number? Yeah. Who's Caleb Beninock?
Been in the league a few years. He's bounced around, but mainly played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He actually started all 16 games at right guard for them a few years ago. Then he had a couple stints with the Patriots recently. Never played in a regular season game. He was active for a game or two, I think, but he never actually played. And it's depth. And the only thing I can think of right now is because they just need more numbers on the offensive line. It doesn't seem like there's anything, you know, too serious or long-term, I should say. I mean, being on the reserve COVID list could be serious, but nothing long-term. But you have had five different offensive linemen miss time. John Feliciano's the latest, along with Markwell Harrell. We'll see if he's out there today. He got hurt in Tuesday's practice. You know, Feliciano rested his sore shoulder. Forrest Lamp was out. He came back. And then you got the two guys, Butker and Dawkins, on reserve COVID. Now, we know that Brandon Bean said we expect both of them back this week. Butker was out there walking around. We haven't seen Deion Dawkins yet, but that's five offensive linemen. I mean, it gets a little challenging with pads on, especially to run effective practices when you have numbers and fewer numbers. And if you have an open roster spot, well, I guess then it makes it a lot easier, and they did. So here's a guy that he's versatile, but he mainly has played guard in his career.
Sal, what's the offensive tackle depth? What's it like, I guess? We know Dawkins is going to come back. He hasn't practiced yet. He's coming back from the COVID protocols. We know who the two starters are, Deion Dawkins, Darrell Williams. Spencer Brown has been getting some reps. I guess Bobby Hart has been getting some reps with Dawkins out. What is the depth like at that particular position if something happened to one of those two guys?
I think they're really trying to figure that out right now. There's a lot of competition going on, and that's with everybody. You know, this is a team that likes to move people around. They like to have guys know every position and know that they have position flexibility amongst the group, but also amongst their roster, because once they get into a game situation, they can start to massage the numbers based on what's going on. I would say that, you know, they need Deion Dawkins healthy. They need him there. I don't think there's anything set where you go, there's a guy right there just to plug and play. They don't have that right now. They've gone through some combinations. Obviously, we'll see a little bit more next Thursday without me, you know, saying exactly who's been playing there. Mm-hmm. But even beyond that, it wouldn't matter, because I'm going to tell you that they move guys around. Guys go inside, guys go outside. There's a lot of different players there. I think they really would like Spencer Brown to be the backup swing tackle if he can be. And Brandon Bean said that when he was drafted. He said, you know, that's a guy we're going to rely on to be, you know, a backup tackle. And, you know, if something happens to Darrell Williams, boom, he's got to be ready to play. So I think that would be a really good scenario. I think we're really going to find out a lot over the preseason games and how these guys shake out.
Sal is with us on the Western Hotline. If you have a Bills question, now's the time to call, 803-0550. Jeremy and I were discussing Mitchell Trubisky a little bit in the last hour. We were having the Colts discussion about Wentz and, you know, should they be looking to get another quarterback? And I think Bills fans over the weekend were having a discussion on Twitter about, hey, Wentz is here. Call the Colts. What do you want for Trubisky? Let's get something out of this. Let's start with how has Trubisky looked so far in practice?
He's looked really good going back to OTAs. Somebody I noted after OTAs, one of my standout guys, OTAs and minicamp even, which is from the day that I saw him out there, he looked calm and patient. And, you know, that's just kind of thrown in regular OTAs. You're not really going against the defense much. And then, yes, you get through OTAs and minicamp and you start ramping it up a little bit. It just really, he just kept going. And I think the same thing. There was a day last week, maybe end of the week, where I'd say it was not his best day. But otherwise, he's had good days. And I think his bar is high for me right now, like, because I've really liked what I've seen. He looks calm. He looks patient. He looks under control. I think this is exactly what the Buffalo Bills wanted when they signed Mitchell Trubisky, which is a couple of different things. Number one, they wanted a guy who they knew that, hey, if something happens to Josh Allen for 4, 5, 6 games, we are not going to let the backup quarterback spot cost us what could be maybe the number one seed in the playoffs. We need a competent backup quarterback to make sure that that does not derail our season. They have Super Bowl aspirations. This is not, and I keep trying to make the point to Bills fans who say the same thing you just talked about. People have to get out of the thinking of, oh, that guy's, you know, you can spin him for a future asset because that's going to be worth something. You know what's worth more to the Bills of the future asset right now? Having a really good player too deep, because they're trying to win a Super Bowl. That is more important and valuable right now to this team than it is to get a mid-round pick. That's where we are in the life cycle of the Buffalo Bills. So that's why Mitchell Trubisky is very important. The other thing is, he's a lot more athletic than Matt Barkley. He's not Josh Allen, but you do not have to change anything about the offense with him in there. You're not calling the runs maybe you call for Josh Allen, right? But this guy can move. And it was kind of really striking to me at some point last week when I said, man, it's way different than having Matt Barkley in there, who's basically a statue, and you just have to make sure you keep him clean in the pocket. So for anybody who talks about – now, look, if the Indianapolis Colts called Brandon Bean tomorrow and said, we'll give you a first-round pick, I don't know how you can't say no, right? That's not happening, though. Carson Wentz could come back within the first couple of weeks of the regular season. They're not doing that. But Mitchell Trubisky's value to the Bills – is so much greater right now than any mid-round future asset they could have for him.
When you do, I don't know how much time you do spend, by the way, watching Davis Webb or Jake Fromm, but if when you do, is it in terms of the break glass in case of emergency discussion, you see anything from those two guys?
I think Fromm has struggled a lot. He had a really good day the other day when, like, I thought the entire offense did. Remember that day I called him sizzling, right?
Yes.
I thought Fromm was
Yeah, it was Monday, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, he was real good that day. But otherwise, I think he's been inconsistent at best. I think he's gotten a little bit better, though, as camp's gone on, which is good. And you have to, you know, last year was a lost year for him. This is kind of his rookie year, if you will. He was the COVID guy. He never practiced with the team, really. You know, so, you know, you have to keep that in mind when you talk about him. And I think they understand that as well. Now, Davis Webb, like, I don't think Davis Webb has much of a shot to make the 53-man roster, but I think Davis Webb is still in this organization, you know, after final cuts, because he'll be on the practice squad. Davis Webb's going to be a coach someday. He's super smart, really organized, really highly respected, not only with the Bills, but around football. He's the guy that got everybody together for those workouts last year down in Florida and basically ran them. And I think they love having Davis Webb in this organization and in the room. And I'm not saying even like a mentor for Josh Allen. I mean, they're basically the same age. I'm saying just for a smart guy with an extra set of eyes, I think they want to make sure that happens. And there's no danger of losing Davis Webb if you cut him at the end of camp. The question is, if you release Jake Fromm at the end of training camp, does another team grab him? And if they do, are you okay with that? Can you live with that? Because if the answer is no, you want to make sure that you keep him for – because Trubisky's on a one-year deal, and you got a guy here who's young who you want to keep grooming, then you can't release him. Then he's got to make the 53-man roster. And I think that's the situation the Bills are going to be in at the end.
See that happening? So, I mean, I think about Trubisky. Can't they get every offseason's Trubisky?
Oh, I don't think so, Jeremy. How many? Maybe. I mean, you'd really have to. Mitchell Trubisky could have gone somewhere and competed for a starting job, I think. Maybe not. I think he's at least of that kind of right there at that borderline level that another team would have said, we have a quarterback competition here. Let's bring a former second overall pick in. He's only been in the league 4 years. He's gone to the playoffs. How many really competent, even starting quarterbacks, good starting quarterbacks are in this league? I think you can't get much better than a backup than Mitch Trubisky. So I don't know how much better you're going to get than him on a year-to-year basis.
Well, you don't want to be necessarily good in that spot on a year-to-year basis, is all I would say. Like, you are going to top out at that position. And the idea of another rostered player not being carried, so you can carry a third quarterback when the point of having the second quarterback is to be so good. From a numbers game is all I'm saying, Sal. Like, I might think that they look at the position and say, we'd love to keep Mitch another year. If we can't, you know, we can keep kind of cycling guys in and get, you know, veterans that need another chance or might want to compete for a spot, whatever. I have a tough time thinking Fromm's going to make it through again.
I don't disagree with you. I think they'd rather keep two, right? To me, the perfect scenario for them is to keep two. And maybe if Fromm clears waivers, you bring both of them back. You have 16-man practice squad. Why not, right? Yeah. You could keep both of them on the practice squad, Fromm and Webb. I think the perfect scenario is they keep two. This really just comes down to, do you really care if you lose Jake Fromm or not? I think that's really what it comes down to for me, because they may say, we really like him and we think that he actually can be a competent backup in this league. But if we release him at the end of camp, another team can just claim him. And I don't know if they want to do that. That's what the ultimate. And here's the other part about this. This could, all that could change based on how he plays in the preseason, not only for the Bills, but every other team in the league who's going to see him. So if he really, if he plays really well, I think he's probably kept. If he doesn't, you know what? It really might not matter, because other teams have said, you know, he really hasn't shown much, and the Bills can still maybe nab him back for the practice squad if they want.
Since we're on the theme of the passing game, I wanted to ask you about Ken Dorsey. You had pointed out in the days or weeks leading up to training camp, you had noticed that the website, the title of passing game coordinator, had been added. So as you're watching practice, is Dorsey, do you see anything different? Is Dorsey more involved? I mean, typically it's Brian Daboll. He calls the play. They're running through their offensive drills. Is Dorsey doing anything differently because he is the now, quote, passing game coordinator?
No, not that I've noticed. I think that's a title, and that's something that happens behind closed doors. I think that's more of a game plan thing. That's more of a meeting thing. And obviously, you know, we're not in there. But no, it's still Brian Daboll's offense. He's still the offensive coordinator. Dorsey's still working directly with Josh Allen. He's still the quarterback's coach. But no, I don't see him doing anything different. And I would think that anything that's different about his job now basically is taking place before they get out to the practice field.
Gotcha. The other thing I wanted to point out, I have good news for you, by the way. You may already know the answer. You had tweeted out yesterday about this All-22 issue going on. It's going to be okay. Apparently, it might be technically related. They changed some interface to Game Pass. Anyway, the league came out yesterday and said the plan is to have All-22 film on Game Pass by the start of the regular season.
Well, it's not even about the All-22 for me. I could actually live without All-22. I love it. I get it. Like, that's fine. What was bothering me, and it still is, so I have a subscription to Game Pass, and maybe other people are in the same boat. I log in. I can't watch replays of games. It takes me right to, hey, you need to sign up. I'm like, I'm already signed up. You've already taken my money. You've renewed me.
Okay.
And I can't do anything. But, yes, that is another issue that a lot of people are having problems with. Look, I mean, I know this might be, like, hot takey or whatever when I say this. I do love All-22. I use it. But I think we've kind of gone really overboard with the number of, like, All-22 analysis accounts and everything that's out there that everybody has, that if they took it away, I don't know, I'd still figure out a good way to be able to watch, you know, the games and what's going on. Because I think it's almost like paralysis by analysis for the incredible amount of All-22 analysis that's out there, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I'll tell you this. From your standpoint, while you might love your job, I think you have, like, maybe the worst vantage point in the world in terms of evaluating some of the stuff that happens, because you're down on the field. Obviously, I think it's better to be either up in the stands, in the press box, or watching at home on TV, or going back, maybe watching All-22, because when you're on the field, you have a hard time seeing everything develop.
That's what I do, and that's what I use it for. But, you know, I mean, And I'll go and watch some from games past and things like that. I'll do some advanced stuff. I like to do the advanced stuff on the All-22 a lot, like whoever the Bills' opponent is. I'll take a look at, you know, what's going on. By the time I get to all that stuff, sometimes it's, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, and I'm already kind of on to the next team. So that's why, to me, you know, it is important, but it's not incredibly vital to my job, but I do like doing it. It's a good point you bring up, because I'll tell you what happens, Howard. I write my arrow up, arrow down column, right, after every game. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll say, like, I didn't think that the passing game was very good or whatever. And people will get mad at me and say, how can you not single out this guy? He was awful. And my response is, look, it's not that I don't want to, but from my vantage point, I can't watch replays and hear what the analysis is from. I'm watching the game from a different perspective. I'm looking for injuries. I'm looking for a lot of things. If I see, like, some really, you know, some really poor plays, I can certainly say that. But until I go back and rewatch the game, I can't tell you specifically that a player played as poor as well. You might be able to already tell from at home, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got an awful seat. But whatever. You know, there are perks.
No, but I love it. I am great.
I figured, you know, I didn't think you would.
It's a different way to watch the game, and the job is a little bit different than, you know, what a lot of other people's jobs are, basically.
All right. Well, have fun at practice today. Are they in pads again, do you know?
I mean, they should be.
Okay. You and know, the officials today at camp?
Yes, officials today and through Saturday. If you're going Saturday, you'll see officials at
Oh, that's
at
right. There's another open practice Saturday, right? Yeah.
Yeah, real quick. So remember how we were wondering, why are they taking so long to go on pads, right? Put pads on. I've never – it's been – had like four practices. And I read somewhere that there was – I don't know what the Bills necessarily, but I think there's some rules or confusion about rules about if you can have pads on or after off days.
Oh, so I didn't think about that. Today. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. We'll see today if they have pads on, and it's not a big deal. But
yeah.
I know there was another team. Someone said the team there was some ambiguity in the rules about pads after off days, which is why they didn't have them when they could have that day. So we'll see today because the Bills did not have them on Monday after their first off day.
All right. Yeah, I forgot about the open practice. So, and you have to have a ticket. So go to BuffaloBills.com, yes. right, and see if there's – I don't know if there's even tickets left.
BuffaloBills.com/training camp. Somebody told me that there's none left, but I don't know what's right. I would tell people just go and find out. You know, that could have been someone checked on, saw something else, whatever. But go and check, and, you know, you can get up to six of them. You do need a ticket, but the tickets are free.
Very good. All right. Thank you, sir. As always, we will follow up on today's practice with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Sal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.